Everybody, how's it going? My name is Errol E, and welcome to Every Moment with Errol E. Today we have an amazing guest. His name is Jordan, and we're going to be talking about the three M's. So that is going to be masculinity, money, and marriage. And we'll be broadcasting live in our new home, and that will be LinkedIn as well. So we'll be broadcasting on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. So let's join Jordan. But before we do, let's kick that sweet intro.
You're listening to Every Moment with Errol Lee. We believe that every moment deserves a better story. And on this podcast, we tell those stories. Here's your host, Errol Lee.
All right. We are live. So welcome, Jordan. Welcome, Jordan. How are you doing
Thanks
today?
Thanks for having me. I'm well, excited to be here and ready to dive in.
Awesome. So before we dive into some of the questions, like, how was your day today? So what did you do today? How was your day?
So it's been relatively chill so far. Normally I'm off on Mondays, of course, with it being Labor Day. I've had that luxury to spend with my wife, and I have plans of cutting the grass, so she's making me cut the grass today, so I'm enjoying my chill back when I can, while I can.
Awesome. Yeah, I cut the grass yesterday, so the weather wasn't that bad, which was good. So it wasn't that bad. So that's awesome. That's great. You're having a great day today. Now, if anyone has any comments they want to throw in on the chat, you can definitely do that too as well. So me, Jordan, we can answer some of these questions. All right. So as you can see, we're going to be discussing today, and that is the three M's: masculinity, money, and marriage. And I think for being a man, a lot of these kind of go hand in hand together when we think about, like, what is a man and how can a man be great in a marriage, and how does a man handle his finances? That all plays a role in everything I feel that, like, a man does, like, and what he represents. So the first question I really want to ask you is, what comes to your mind when you hear the word masculinity?
Absolutely. So the first things that come to mind would be security, being able to protect all that he may own or all that he's responsible to cover, provision, being able to provide for, whether that be his family, maybe just his spouse during this time of life. When I hear masculinity, I think more logical than emotion, whether that be thinking strategically more so based off the facts than, you know, emotion, which is a bit more common. So,
right. And do you feel nowadays that word masculinity is skewed in a way, like the whole, like to be a man?
Great question.
What does it mean to be masculine?
Yeah, I think that today we kind of have two different views of what masculinity looks like. One could be more toxic than the other. When I think about, like, toxic masculinity and how often it's portrayed, it's the macho man, the superhero who doesn't acknowledge his emotions, doesn't speak about them, because if he does, he's considered weak, and almost like a female. Whereas on the other side of that, like manhood, it's the emotionally intelligent man, the one that's aware of his emotions, the one that can address it and also talk about it. I think that that's starting to come up more often in the conversation of what it actually looks like to be a positive masculine man, instead of like the beer drinker, the one that just wants to sit on the couch all day and yelling and all that thing. So,
right. Because, I feel like now it's like taking a whole new dynamic. It's okay to show your emotions and share your emotions. If we look at it, like, women can share their emotions and everything, but like with men, we keep it all inside. It's like, if we share anything outside of maybe sports, then it's like, you're not a man, you're not masculine, you're not strong, you're weak, you said. And I think now breaking those barriers down is good, because, you know, if you keep everything inside, that's going to kill you in the end. That's really going to kill you in the end. Physically, mentally, spiritually. So I feel it's good for men, like you said, to like share and be open and like, it's okay to cry and be intelligent in those aspects. Now, what was your like transition like from boyhood to now manhood? What was that like?
Yeah, so, and I have to try to pretend like I don't still look like a boy, but as far as the transition, I would say for me, it happened not too long ago. My transition, I would say, from more so like a young man to like, okay, I actually identify as, drop the young part, even though I still am, but just a man that can hold his own would be, you know, once I got married. You know, there's a lot of things that I had to put into place quickly. You know, I had to move out of my parents' house. And you know, be able to make sure that I could provide a living space, a safe living space for my wife, and handle my own responsibilities. And that'd be the mortgage, maybe car notes when we had them, and things of that nature. So I would say my transit, it was smooth. You know, my parents did a wonderful job preparing me for manhood. And, you know, taking care of my responsibilities and, you know, building my own family. So.
Nice. Now, I'm glad you mentioned your parents. A lot of men might not have a two-parent household. So how do you feel that can affect them? I know with me, single parent, mom raised me my whole life. So how do you think that can have a adverse effect on what a man should be, not being able to see maybe that unit together?
Yeah, absolutely. So the adverse effect of not having like a father in the house, I would say is really difficult, because you're going to get the interpretation of what a man is from somewhere. So if it's not directly in the home, that can end up, you know, the shows that we may watch, the other men that you may have outside of the home, they may not be positive influences. It just depends on who you're all around. So, I mean, it could have a really bad impact, because you're going to get the interpretation of what a man is from somewhere. And if you don't have that man in the house to kind of guide you, it's going to be really difficult, because at this point you're kind of grasping whatever concept that you can from whatever male figure you may have present in your life. And that may not always be a positive role model. So.
Right. And that is true. Like, if you don't have like that influence inside of your home, you will look at it, whether it be on the TV, and in some cases, unfortunately, the street life, and, you know, your boys, your friend, that could be that male influence where people are like, oh no, that's cool, that's the way to go. And that is something that we all need to take a look at and be like, the man needs to be in the home. The man needs to be that positive influence inside the home. We got an awesome comment from Aaron. Good content, which is great. You know, that's great to see that that people are watching and men are watching too. So I hope everyone can take away from this episode here. So, Jordan, when that time comes, and if you have a son, let's say, how would you raise your own son? How would that be? What would that look like to you?
That time is hopefully coming soon. I'm hoping that God will bless me with a son. But in my mind, how I want him to be raised is kind of going back to what I mentioned a bit earlier, is being emotionally intelligent. Is very important for anyone. And again, that's being able to identify what you're feeling, being aware of it, and being okay with it, and being okay to speak up. I'm not always trying to wear that S on your chest and keep those emotions bottled up, because that can, you know, really negatively impact not just you, but anyone else you may be involved with, whether that's family, friends, acquaintances, wives, girlfriends, and things of that nature. So that would be the first part, being emotionally intelligent, disciplined, doing things that you should do regardless of how you feel. You have responsibilities, and sometimes you may not feel the urge to get them done, but it still needs to be done. So discipline, being accountable. When you say you're going to be somewhere, or you say that you are going to do something, that you follow through, that builds a good reputation. That's important. A lot of people say that word is bond, and I believe that 100%, because if someone can't be accountable, no one's going to trust you, and that's not a good thing. And also, how to handle money, his finances, is definitely going to be passed down of my wisdom to him. I believe it's going to be very important to learn how to not only manage money, but, grow it through investing, through many avenues that may be of interest to him at that time. And also how to be caring. When we think about manhood and masculinity, that word isn't typically thrown in there, but how to care, how to be sympathetic or empathetic. I would definitely say it would be those things.
Yep. How to be sympathetic, empathetic, and just be open and naturally want to share and not keep everything suppressed. Inside. And you rolled into the next segment right here, and I think this is a very hard segment for a lot of people. A lot of people don't even share this in their life, and it's money and talking about money in that regard. So the first question I want to ask is, what were you taught about money growing up? Whether it be saving, investing, debt, and earning. What was your knowledge like when it comes to money?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this topic up, because I'm not sure why it happens to be, but money is typically like a taboo topic. It's not really talked about openly in some situations, and whether that be even in the work environment, we don't talk about that. But as far as what I was taught about money growing up, saving was definitely important. You needed to save money in case of emergencies. But I would really say that what I was taught was kind of basic. You want to save, you want to go to work, make sure that you have a good job. And so I would say that it was kind of basic in regards to money, the money conversation. So
it's kind of basic, but how did you like gravitate towards like, I want to learn more about money? Cause that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a parent could sit their child down and say, all right, let's talk about money or not talk about money. How did you gravitate towards that? And was it at a young age where you was like, no, I really want to learn about money. I want to learn what it takes to have money or grow money.
Yeah. So it's funny because I mean, as long as I could remember, I've always been interested in business, finance, and money just in general. Even when I was younger, I actually wanted to be a veterinarian. Like I really enjoyed animals, but it wasn't until I think high school and I was in anatomy and physiology and I noticed I don't want to work on animals. Like I don't want to cut them open or anything like that. But even when I was younger, because I shared my visions with my dad, again, it shows to how important having a father in the household is. I shared my vision with him and I said, during the time I wanted to be a veterinarian, like I want to open multiple veterinary clinics, and you know I want to brand them and position them in such a way that I could have multiple open and bring in revenue. I was thinking about how I was going to advertise the clinics and everything like that, and he pointed that out. It's like, you know, that's more so of business and learning how to grow a business, build a business, market, and everything like that. And it just kind of clicked. It's like, okay, yeah, I love animals. I have two now, but my main thing, my main passion is, you know, money and finances. So, what was the original question though? Because I think that I was kind of segueing into the question.
Right. So like how did you kind of like navigate
Gravitate.
towards like I want to learn more about money, especially
Yeah,
at a
so
young
it kind
age?
of addresses that
So
why I ended up getting interested, but also it came from, you know, just watching my parents. Even though, you know, parents have the thing of, which is correct, you know, not bringing your kids into specific situations. They shouldn't be aware of certain things, but I believe me and my brother could kind of tell that there were some struggles there because stress kind of transfers. Like when stress is in the home, everyone could kind of feel it. And for me, it was like, okay, I understand that. For me, I believe we grew up middle class, but we had the best of everything. My parents did a wonderful job, you know, making sure that we had food on the table, clothes on our back. But I could kind of sense that there was some stress in the area of, you know, finances. There were certain things that I would see. So for me, it kind of lit the fire even more to be like, okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm as knowledgeable as possible in this specific area because I don't want to repeat like the stresses that are caused because of money for whatever the situation may be, whether it's debt, you know, bills piling up. So I want to do my best to make sure that I educate myself to my full capability to where I'm not worried about money. I'm more so money. I'm more so focused on how to double, triple, quadruple, you know, the amount that I have instead of trying to figure out where my money is going. I want to be focused on telling my money where to go in a sense. So.
Yep, and that is so important, trying to figure out telling your money where to go, best place to have it grow,
Right.
and so forth. But I think one of the biggest things, especially in America right now, is debt. And a lot of people have debt. I know for me personally, I'm trying to get out of debt. And that is such a hard thing to not only talk about, to open up about. But what do you believe about debt, and how do you feel about paying your debt? Because a lot of times people are like, ah, it's fine. Like I'll just swipe my card, or it's okay. I can just do whatever. Ever, I'm paying this off, but I can rack it up. What's your feelings about that?
So another great question. As far as my viewpoint of debt, you want to avoid it as much as possible. You know, if you're fortunate enough to learn about debt and why you should stay away young enough, you know, make sure throughout your years that you are taking the appropriate measures to avoid it. I think that, you know, the Bible says, you know, the borrower is slave to the lender. So with that in mind, stay away from it as much as possible. If you are currently in debt, you want to make sure that you are taking the appropriate measures as far as educating yourself and how to set up a budget and then reduce the amount of debt that you have, reduce the amount of debt that you have to virtually where you don't have any. I know that there are certain people that have different viewpoints as far as good debt and bad debt. Good debt would be debt that puts money in your pocket. So that would be maybe a loan that you take out to purchase a rental property. So now that's an asset of yours and it's putting money into your pocket. Whereas the bad debt would be liabilities, you know, putting a large TV on a credit card so you don't have the money, but now you're financing it. Loans for auto, you know, those things depreciate. It's not an asset whatsoever. So some say that there is good debt and bad debt. I'm trying to still figure out what my viewpoint is on that, if it's just debt is debt, period, or if I agree with, you know, there is good debt and there is bad debt. So, but generally you want to avoid it as much as possible. But if you are in it, you want to pay it off as soon as you can.
Right. And one thing about debt, if you are in it, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You can always go out of, get out of it. So whether it be educating yourself, taking classes, looking up videos, there is multiple ways to get out. So if you feel like you're like drowning in debt, and I know that feeling and feeling ashamed and guilty, you know that there is a way to get out. There is a way to get out. There is a way. So don't let that pile up on you of feeling guilty. Anyone watching, that is one thing you should know. Like, don't give up. There's a way to get out of the debt grave, let's say.
Yeah.
You can climb that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I would also say that.
Keep going.
Yeah, I think that people also have the assumption that debt is normal and it's not. I remember my wife having a conversation with one of her coworkers, and she was kind of astonished by the fact that I have really no debt at all or very little. And she was like, well, you're always going to have debt. And it's just that mindset that ends up trapping people that debt is normal. You're always going to have car note payments, or you're always going to be in credit cards, or you're always going to be in credit card debt. And we have to move away from that. You know, it's not normal. And also being brave enough, I'll position it this way, brave enough to confront that you are in debt, because I think that some people shy away from addressing the fact that they're in debt because it's tough. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, you know, 20 plus thousand in student loans, and it's a hard thing to kind of face. But I think that it is important to kind of, you know, buckle up, face the fact that you are in debt, and then come up with a strategy to, you know, how to pay it off. There are a lot of great resources out there to pay off debt. I know Dave Ramsey is a great resource, and amongst a lot of people right now, I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but you know, his crew, Dave Ramsey, Anthony O'Neill, and Chris Hogan. So anyone looking to get out of debt, I would suggest starting there. They're great resources, though.
Yes, I agree with the Dave Ramsey. You know, me and my wife, we took that Dave Ramsey course, okay. And honestly, someone who was in debt and had a hard time looking at money, this really did help me out. There's still, including my wife, helped me out understanding the money portion and getting out of the debt and try to crush the debt. But know that educating yourself is great. And then it is a humbling experience once you sit down, write down all your numbers, look at your debt, and then figure out a way to crush it as best as possible. And if you have someone else to help you in the house, that'll be great. But if you're doing it by yourself, you know, this is where education is key. This is where maybe not eating out as much. You know, like even if you have to do that ramen noodle, peanut butter and jelly all day, do it, you know, to get out of debt. Because debt, unfortunately, is something a lot of people go through, and that it caused a lot of friction in the household within themselves and things like that. But what do you believe about, what do you believe about money for your future when it comes to saving, investing, good debt, and like earning? Because, you know, some people might invest in Nike for the shoes, right? They buy the shoes, a new one comes out, a new Jordans, a new this, a new that, and it's a new this, a new that, and it's awesome. But why not throw 10% in stock and you own part of that company instead of owning the shoe, own part of that company, something like that.
Yeah. So as far as my belief, I definitely believe 100% that investing is important, you know, saving as well. I know that generally you want to have like an emergency fund and then save up, I would say, 3 to 6 months of expenses. Some people say income. I would just say of expenses, 3 to 6 months, and then you want to move on to investing. I'm a heavy investor. You know, I invest in the stock market. I'm looking to move into mutual funds, but I'm really heavy into investing in stocks. I love it, you know, messing with the numbers, watching my money, my initial deposit grow is a wonderful thing. In regards to, you know, buying shoes or, you know, just buying things that are not going to help you in the future in regards to your finances, I think there's many ways to make it work. Even if that person that's buying the Jordans, they could start a business that way. You know, there's a lot of people that flip sneakers out, that kind of create a business around it. So if you find yourself loving clothes, loving shoes, create a business out of it. You know, learn how to make a profit, and then once you have that additional income, learn how to invest it. So I'm big on investing, growing money, saving, and not acquiring debt.
There you go. Try not to acquire that debt. You know, try to build your money, grow your money. There's a lot of things. You said stocks. There's probably like the penny stocks too. If you're like, I don't want to put all my money in here, why not do like maybe little bits of different stocks? But probably not to put all your money on one thing. Should you separate your money so it goes into different areas?
Right. Yeah. I mean, penny stocks
are when it comes to penny stocks are good. But I think diversifying. Yeah. Do you think people should diversify their money?
Yes, definitely. It's funny you mentioned diversify, because I was reading a bit earlier. For me, in case anybody doesn't know, I'm big on faith. As far as Christianity. And I just saw that question, but it disappeared. I want to make sure we address that. But for me, diversifying, even in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 11 says, take your grain, ship it across the sea so that you may receive a return. Invest in seven ventures, even eight, for you never know. I don't know the exact word for word, but it's just around what I just said. It proves that even in the Bible, it's talking about diversification. You figure back in those days, their seeds, it was a form of currency because they were big in agriculture. So essentially what it's saying is, you know, take your money and spread it through many ventures so that you may. It doesn't say it's guaranteed, you know, and you may. It doesn't say it's guaranteed, you know, investing is not a guaranteed return, but, you know, as you learn more and more, you kind of limit the risk and increase the potential gain. So when I read that, that was just more so like diversify. Don't keep your eggs in one basket, because, you know, if that basket ends up breaking, you know, you lose all your eggs. So you want to have it planted in many assets and things of that nature. So,
right. Yeah. So try not to put your eggs in one basket.
Right.
You know, separate everything, diversify. If one goes down, then at least you're covered. You're not having to worry like, oh, all my money is now wiped because of this stock. You're separating it. So even if one is down, at least the others can keep you afloat.
Right.
But what do you think people can learn about their past mistakes to make better money decisions?
Yeah, so
I feel like we can all learn from history. You know, they always say learn from the past.
Yeah, and history has a tendency to repeat itself. So one, again, is just that thing of addressing like, hey, we got here by our decisions. You know, we got in debt by doing this and that. How do we figure out how to avoid it? So that would be educating yourself. Pick up a book. For many people that may not like physical books, there's audio books that you can listen to. There's a lot of great resources. You just need to take the time and search them out actively, because where you are, you won't get to where you want to be by being passive. You know, being good with money, it's a habit. It's because of intention. Being intentional about, again, instead of worrying about where your money is going, learn how to tell it where to go. So you actively have to read books, and it's going to be a bit time consuming. It's not an easy subject. I would say, you know, there's numbers involved sometimes, which can scare people. But I think that once you acquire the knowledge, you'll be able to simplify the process. So I would just say, in order to avoid the mistakes, you have to learn why they're made. And most likely it's because you didn't sit down and actually read and educate yourself on money. So,
right. That is so true. Sit down, learn about it, you know, mistakes happen, but you can undo your mistake to make better money decisions, better life choices. So what is your belief when it comes to spending money, and how do you feel when you spend money? Like, there's a difference from maybe spending money at the grocery store to buying a electronic. So how do you feel about spending money?
Yeah. So as far as what I think about it, I mean, money is important to save, but it's also there for your enjoyment as well. So there's things that you're going to want to buy that I believe, you know, people should buy. But I think it is important to live below your means. With money, I think we use it as a tool to impress others. And that could be, you know, buying the newest car, the biggest television, you know, the biggest house. And that can cause you to be a bit in over your head. So live below your means. Don't buy to impress people, but also be reasonable. If you don't have the money right now, save up and then buy it outright. I think with working for a credit card company, a lot of mistakes that I see is people believe that credit cards is an extension of their income instead of an extension from the bank. Like, that's debt. That's just a loan that you don't have to apply for each time you go to use the card, but it's not an extension of your income. You didn't make the money yourself. So if you do not have the $100, $200, $2,000 that you're looking at to buy whatever it is that you want, I would suggest save up. Do not buy it on the credit card, because that's how you end up racking up that form of debt. So yeah. As far as how I feel, it's funny because I kind of tell my wife that I can, it's like a meter. When I'm starting to spend a bit too much, or I'm getting close to the budget, or I'm slightly over, I could just feel it. There's something that doesn't sit well with me. I mean, that could also be because I check my bank like just about every day. I mean, I have even spent anything that day, but I just, you know, still check. That way I have a mental image of what it is that I have, How much have I spent outside of the budget so far? So how I feel about it is, you know, if you have the money, go ahead, as long as everything else is taken care of, but also make sure that you are limiting yourself and not financing things and getting into that type of trouble. So,
right. And I think that is an important thing. You know, if you don't have it, don't rack up your credit card, you know, because that's going to now put you in that negative, whatever you just purchased. And now you're going to have to pay that off. And you might think small number. Oh, it's only $50 a month. It's only this a month. But if you look at that interest, will kill you. Literally, it will kill your pockets.
Seen it happen. Yeah.
Yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Rise credit. Yes, it will. So how do you value money? How do you value money?
Yeah, so I just kind of look at it as a tool. You know, it'll provide or assist in things that you're looking for. As far as value, that's a good question. I actually have to kind of think on that a bit. Yeah, to me, I just kind of see it as a tool to purchase things that you may be interested in, as long as you have full amount in your account to pay for. It'll allow you to experience things, whether that's traveling. I think I have, like, my value for it is pretty high, because it's important, because it can allow you to experience important things in life. You know, I wouldn't have been able to get married without money. I don't put my life into it, in a sense. I don't put it above God. I don't put it above my marriage. It's very low on the totem pole, but I understand its importance. So I understand the importance, but I wouldn't say that value. Yeah, because when I think about value, it's like it's something that I cherish, and money isn't that. I just see it as a tool or resource to, you know, get things done, pay for services, invest, grow your wealth, and provide for your family. I just see it as a tool. I don't put too much value into it. But
right. Awesome. So, yeah, you know, like, it's good to know about money, value money, but take care of money. You know, at the end of the day, you want to take care of your money. You don't want to value it over over God, your family, your kid, your family, your kids. Like, you know, like, know that money is a tool to help you build whatever it is you want to build. I think that's probably the best way to say it.
Money is like a comment. Yeah, money is a great slave and a terrible master. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Money is a great slave and a terrible master. Yes, that is true. That is so true. And Jill said, live below your means, preach unwanted debt, and only pay for things that you have for money in your account for. The borrower is always slave to the lender. And that is so true. Now we are moving on from money to now moving on to the I do's of marriage. And I hope everyone enjoyed this part one series interview with Jordan called The 3 M's, Masculinity, Money, and Marriage. Stay tuned and check out part two coming up.
Thanks for listening to Every Moment with Errol Lee. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.